This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Bonnie North. Earlier this month, we featured an interview with Maria Perez, the Vice President for Behavioral Health at 16th Street Community Health Centers. She discussed challenges the Latino population faces when it comes to barriers to care for addiction, from English proficiency to lack of insurance to the stigma surrounding the issue. People who are under or uninsured have far fewer options for alcohol and other drug addiction treatment. But the programs at 16th Street, including AODA and medication-assisted treatment, are especially geared toward the population it serves. Luis Lopez is one person who's gotten help from 16th Street's programs. He's had a long history of drug addiction, but has been clean for about 5 years now. Lopez joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio, along with translator Allison True and his AODA therapist, Tia Ostrich, to share his story on how drug addiction has impacted his life.
Luis, Tia, and Allison, of course, welcome to Lake Effect. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, Luis, can you tell us a little bit about your story and how you came to successfully get clean with the help of 16th Street and Tia and their programs?
Pues yo cuando era menor de edad empecé mal.
When I was really young, I had a rough start on the streets. In my house, there was good and there was bad.
Porque en el lado bueno tenía mi mamá que me enseñó lo bueno de la iglesia, lo bueno de la vida. Y en el lado malo, pues tenía mi papá.
Que on the good side, I had my grandmother who showed me the church and the good things in life. And on the bad side, I had my father for many reasons was rejected from society and forced a lot of times when you're in jail or you've had an experience like that, life, the society, they put you in a position where you can't get a job, you can't find opportunities. It's really hard.
Entonces, pues, había la influencia de mi papá. Mi papá es mi papá.
Dios. So I had the influence of my father. My father is my father.
Y pues yo lo veía él haciendo las cosas y pues yo pensaba que era algo normal.
I saw him, you know, doing things and I thought it was something normal.
Y empecé a los 12 años a bregar con distintos tipos de droga, a vender droga en las calles, a usar droga.
I started at age 12 to involve myself with drugs, to use drugs, to sell drugs.
Y entonces, cuando ya, de ahí nunca paré, de ahí nunca paré.
So from there, I never stopped. Selling drugs, using drugs, firearms, like scenes you would see in a movie, that's what we lived in my family, in my house.
Entonces, cuando toqué fondo, empecé, usaba droga todos los días, le robaba a mi familia.
When I hit rock bottom, I was using drugs every day. I was stealing from my family.
No, vivía en las calles por...
I was living in the streets because I didn't want people to see me, to see how I was, how I saw myself.
Entonces, pues ahí empecé a conocer a más personas que estaban más metidas.
And I started to meet more people that were even worse and more involved in the drugs than I were in the streets. And we started to do things that I really regret.
En parte me arrepiento, en parte de todo lo que hice,
There's, on one hand, there's a lot of things that I regret. But the thing I most regret in my life is having tried drugs in the first place.
Cuando tenía como 16 años, mi mamá me mandó a Estados Unidos.
When I was 16, my mom sent me to the United States.
Y me fui a vivir a Nueva York.
I went to New York to live with a couple uncles on my father's side. I went there to get away from the life, from the drugs, and it was worse there than it was in Puerto Rico. I had a friend in Florida that drove trucks, that was a truck driver, and so I left New York to find him. It was a little better. There was, when we got together, there was still drugs, but it wasn't as deep as it was in Puerto Rico or New York.
Entonces, con ello empezamos a conocer a otro tipo de gente,
so,
más profundo.
With him, I met other people, more people that had more money and more power, and I got involved in a different way, even deeper than before. At this time, I was about 16 or 17, and I was traveling across the whole United States, to and from Mexico, to Canada.
Y ahí empezamos a hacer algo diferente. Empezamos a traficar.
And we started to do something different. We started to traffic.
Y era algo diferente para mí porque yo lo que hacía era que yo lo usaba. Yo no, nunca me vi.
And it was really new for me because I had always just used. I never saw myself being part of something so big like trafficking. And from there, I hit rock bottom again. I started using worse than before. I started to come off poorly to the people I was with. That made them want to kill me.
Y ahí me fui otra vez para Puerto Rico.
So I went back to Puerto Rico from there. And again, it was bad. I found people that I knew. But the people that I was working with in the United States, in Florida, came after us and found us when we were in a car. Was it a car chase?
Yes.
And they found us, and there was a car chase, and they were shooting at us. I was shot.
Ahí el muchacho que andaba conmigo, mi amigo, le dieron unos tiros. Quedó en silla de ruedas.
The friend I was with was shot and is now in a wheelchair.
Y ahí las personas que nos dispararon y creo que dos murieron y los otros nunca más supimos de ellos.
And from there, the people that came after us, two of them died. And I'm not really sure what happened to the other ones, but from there it got even worse because nobody wanted to help us. They knew really powerful people were after us. And it was then I started to think, why is it that everybody that's with me or that is by me is hurt or shot or something bad happens? And I started to realize and think how my grandma cries all the time about me and that God is taking care of me. And I was really close to dying many times at the hands of my vice. And I thought, I want to be done with this world through this.
Y siempre en mi casa llegó el tiempo que ya mi papá ni mi mamá no me querían. No era que no me querían.
And it came to a point where my mom and dad, they didn't love me. Or it's not that they didn't love me, that I had gotten to a point that they couldn't see me like that anymore.
Y pues empecé a caer en la cárcel. Tuve mucho tiempo en la cárcel.
And I ended up in jail. I spent a lot of time in jail. And the jails are worse, or at least in Puerto Rico. In jail, they're selling drugs and using drugs. And the longest time that I was clean from heroin and cocaine was probably about six months.
Que a lo que yo encontraba, a mí me podían mandar para la luna y en la luna yo encontraba droga yo.
They could send me to the moon and on the moon I would find drugs.
Yo no me quería yo mismo como persona.
I didn't love myself as a person.
Como es bien difícil esto porque yo hice muchas personas sufrir.
This is really hard because I made a lot of people suffer.
Siempre me acuerdo ahora y me río y pero,
when I think about it now, I laugh, but really it was my family's, my mom and dad and my grandma who isn't my grandma, she's my mom. She's always loved me.
Y la droga destruye mucho. La droga te destruye como primeramente como persona.
Drugs destroy a lot of things, and above all, they destroy you as a person because you don't love yourself, you don't see yourself. They destroy yourself, they destroy your family, they destroy the people that love you. And when you hit rock bottom, it's a rock bottom that you think you can never come up from.
Ahí empecé, yo tenía como, yo creo que ya tenía 30 años.
And when I was about 30, I was still using drugs because my body needed it. It was a sickness. But one night, I remember looking up and saying, God, please help me, save me from this or kill me. I'm done living and making myself suffer and my family suffer and the people that love me suffer.
Y mi esposa estaba embarazada un nene.
And my wife was pregnant with a boy.
Y estaba todo normal, pero yo seguía.
Everything was all right and normal, but that was what I wanted. I wanted a kid, a child.
Y un día estábamos en mi casa y mi esposa fue al baño.
One day we were at home and my wife started to bleed, so we took her to the hospital and they told us that she had lost the baby. I was frustrated. I was depressed. I closed myself into my home and I didn't leave my home.
Yo decía, yo le reclamaba a Dios y le decía que por qué a mí, que yo que quería un hijo, me lo quitaba y a la gente que no lo quiere, se los da.
I was upset at God thinking, why from someone like me who wants a child, do you take a child away from me when there's people that don't even want children that have them?
Y ahí empecé a entender que Dios hace como Él quiere. Y empecé a ir a la iglesia. Un día nos fuimos a la iglesia.
I realized that God does what He wants. And my wife and I went to church, and we were sitting in church, and we were listening to everyone preaching. And I specifically remember sitting there thinking that everything they were saying was directly to me.
Entonces, yo dije dentro de mí, yo dije, Dios mío, si
and inside I was saying to myself, God, if you're talking to me, show me that you're talking to me. Give me a sign. Otherwise, I'm not going to get up from here. And from behind, no one was sitting behind me, but I felt someone strongly push me.
Y ahí yo entendí que sí, que Dios me estaba hablando. Pasé.
From then on, we started going to church, and I remember that day when they were preaching, and God was saying to me through them, what I take from you, I will give you back. And 30 days later, my wife was pregnant again.
Y ahí empecé a usar el medicamento.
That's when I started to use the medication like you should use the medication. I'd used it before, but not really seriously.
Y ahí empecé a portarme bien, como digo yo.
Then I started to behave myself, as I like to say it.
Ahí empezó, todo empezó a cambiar bien rápido. Lo que había pasado en 15, 16 años.
Everything changed really quickly. Things that I never had, I started to have. Many of my friends and family that didn't want to know anything about me, that didn't call me, that didn't want to talk to me.
Empezaron a buscarme, empezaron a llamarme.
Started to call me and look for me.
Porque ya yo estaba bien. Ya yo estaba limpio de la droga. Ya yo estaba haciendo lo que yo tenía que hacer. que me cogió muy
after
tarde.
16 or 17 years of using, maybe it was a little late, but
no creo que haya sido muy tarde, porque gracias a Dios tengo no mucho, pero tengo salud, tengo una familia, tengo mis cosas.
And I don't think it's too late because, you know, I don't have a lot, but I have my health, I have my family, I have a job.
Es bien difícil.
It's really hard.
Pero se puede.
But you can do it.
La persona piensa que el que está en este mundo de la droga y el vicio se van a morir así. Y yo no creo eso.
People think that if someone is in the world in a world of drugs and those vices that they're going to die like that, and I don't think that.
Yo no creo que todo el mundo merece una oportunidad.
I think everybody deserves an opportunity.
That was Luis Lopez, translated by Allison True of the 16th Street Community Health Centers. Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Before the break, we heard the story of Luis Lopez, his struggle with drug addiction, and his journey to stay clean with the help of the Medication Assistance Program at the 16th Street Community Health Centers. In the second part of our interview, Luis is joined by his alcohol and other drug addiction therapist, Tia Ostrich. She begins by explaining how she came to treat Luis.
I met Luis when he already had about 5 years of sobriety. So I do, you know, give him all of the credit. I think he's done a whole lot of work himself. And so I met him because he was seeking engagement in our medication-assisted treatment program at 16th Street. We do have a program where we are able to prescribe Suboxone, which is a drug that is prescribed by doctors that can help with the withdrawal effects from opiates, from heroin. So the body becomes especially dependent on heroin and other opiates in a way that doesn't with other substances. And so Suboxone can help mitigate those withdrawal symptoms. We do require that any person who comes seeking Suboxone assistance does see a therapist, because as a part of a recovery program, we know that just giving someone a pill is not going to change it all, but it really can help. I guess the way that I look at medication, whether it's Suboxone or, you know, antidepressants for clients I work with, it is a way to help those clients get to my office. They might not be able to get to my office if they are sick and, you know, experiencing withdrawal symptoms or feeling extremely depressed and can't get out of bed. So if they can take some kind of medication to get to my office where we can do some deeper work through, you know, talk therapy and things like that, it really works best for both of those components. So I met Luis because he was, he had moved recently from Puerto Rico and was looking to get involved in a program in Milwaukee. He was really already doing so much for his sobriety and for his recovery and really has a powerful story. For me, I think that the most important thing that I can do, especially upon just meeting a client, to establish that trust, and something that I believe as a social worker, as a therapist, as a person wholeheartedly in, is that I need to meet this person exactly where they are. I don't expect someone to come to my office and to turn a light switch and they're not going to use again. And some people aren't quite ready for that. So anyway, just, you know, meeting my clients where they are, helping them to really see and feel my genuineness. And I often say, like, you know, I don't have the answers. I certainly do not have all of the answers, but what I do have and what I can provide in my office is a space to, you know, for this person to feel what they feel and to be confused and be scared and be vulnerable. And I am on their team. And in those days and moments where they don't feel hopeful and where they don't recognize their own worth, my job is to say, it's okay if you don't see that today, because I do. And we're going to, you know, I'm going to continue to see that and hold that for you until you get there yourself.
Luis, Tia mentioned you were sober for 5 years in Puerto Rico before coming to Milwaukee. How did you find the help accessible to you compared? Did you find it was difficult to find a program that was right for you and that was most comfortable for you?
Pues fue al principio cuando llegué, fue difícil porque...
When I first got here, it was difficult because I brought medication with me from Puerto Rico. I was asking around, so I started to go to the clinic, to 16th Street Clinic, for my regular medical help. And my doctor started to talk to me about the program. At first, I had to go far to Waukesha to get the medication.
Pero después abrieron aquí en la 27.
But then they opened a clinic on 27th and Layton with the medication-assisted treatment program. So that's where I met Tia and Allison.
Y gracias a Dios y a la clínica y a ella.
Thanks to help from God, from the clinic, from Tia, I'm still clean today. And some people think you stop using drugs and it's just that day and you're done. It's not like that. It's a really long thing that's always there. And because of the help I get at the clinic from my family, when you have people supporting you, you're able to keep looking forward.
Yo tengo un decir.
I think about it and I have a saying that, you know, what I've gained and earned in 5 or 6 years, if you go looking for drugs, you can lose in 5 minutes.
So Luis and Tia, how do you both work together to formulate the treatment plan and to adapt and to change it? Because as Luis says, it's not one fix.
Working with every client means every client has their own treatment plan. And depending on where they're at and what's going on, you know, we talk about what goals are for life, for treatment, and usually come up with those goals together. Logistically, that's something we review every 90 days so that we can reassess where this person is and maybe how things have changed or come along. Because Luis is doing as well as he is and really has a lot going on in life, he's a client that I don't see as regularly. Other clients I will see weekly because, especially early on in recovery, so much can change in a week. And so early on, we're reassessing and kind of creating those goals and talking about what changes can be made more frequently.
And is that in conjunction with the medication assistant treatment program? Are you working with doctors on that front?
Yes, we have doctors, nurse practitioners, nurses, and so clients who are engaged in medication assisted treatment will see a nurse and a nurse practitioner as well as myself on a regular basis. Starts out usually weekly and, you know, depends on the clients from there.
So according to statistics from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, the majority of Hispanic individuals surveyed reported that they did not need to get help because they feel they didn't need treatment. And that's a big component of the success of someone's recovery. So how do you as a health professional try to reach out to the community to overcome this?
So I think personally, professionally, speaking Spanish is the best decision that I've made as an adult. I'm not a native speaker, but I put a lot of time and effort personally and professionally into continuing to learn more, and I learn a lot from clients I serve. It is so important, even someone like Luis, who does have, you know, great skills in English, but to be able to talk about the really deep stuff and to feel confident and comfortable, I think speaking in someone's native language is so, so important. It really just bridges a gap, I think, offers a lot of genuineness and a lot of confidence for someone. So that, I would say, is huge, and that's something that we offer across the board at the clinic. I think also it's really important for me when talking about treatment for clients. I mean, I think the stigma is decreasing, and I'm really thankful for that. But it certainly, you know, still happens that people are like, I don't want to go to therapy. I'm not crazy. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I think it sounds like this daunting thing that maybe you've seen on TV, or, you know, it can be uncomfortable to come and talk with a stranger. I just like to explain that, you know, my job is not to judge. It's not to be biased. And I'm not a part of your life in the way that a family member is. So if you can come to my office and talk to me about things and then leave and not worry that I have an opinion about it or that I'm going to be invested in a way that a family member would. I do feel like clients I see who come in sort of with that reluctance end up leaving saying like, oh, that was not as bad as I thought that would be. That was much more comfortable. We don't do a great job in our society of just sitting with whatever it is that we have. We have screens and we have money and we have so many ways to avoid that. So that's a big part of the work that I try to do as well, is just to empower those people that I serve, and knowing that they have whatever it is that they need within them, and with the help that they're receiving, to deal in a way that means they don't seek a way to avoid whatever is going on and whatever feels uncomfortable or painful.
Luis, you mentioned your family at first shunned you when you were deep into addiction, and once you started getting better, got back in contact. But do you think that overall things like drug addiction and mental health still aren't talked about that much in the Hispanic community, or even with your family, when that's something that you need the support from the people around you?
Es que nosotros latinos pensamos que ver un psicólogo y un psiquiatra es que estamos locos.
As Latinos, we think if you see a psychologist or a psychiatrist, you're crazy.
Yo pensaba así también.
And I thought that too.
Tú, uno le dice, no, que un psicólogo, un psiquiatra, uno piensa, yo no estoy loco. Y
They tell you, oh, go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and I think, I'm not crazy.
Y es bien difícil ir donde una persona que no te conoce a contarle tus problemas.
It's really hard to go see someone you don't know and tell them your problems.
Yeah, but we need to do it. Tenemos que hacerlo porque yo estoy con mi esposa.
We have to do it. I've been with my wife for 10 years, and we talk. I tell her things, but there's a lot of things that you hold in that you keep to yourself because you're not daring enough to say it. And that's where the psychologists and psychiatrists come in.
So with your program, working with Tia, how has that helped you stay on the path to continued recovery?
Cuando conocí a Tía, que no la quería conocer, cambié la cita como 100 veces.
When I met Tía, I didn't want to see her. I changed the appointment like 10 times.
Porque pensaba así mismo y decía, no, yo no estoy loco, yo no voy para allá.
I thought the same thing, like, no, I'm not crazy, I'm not going there.
Pero cuando la conocí y Tía me preguntó que yo quería.
When I saw her, Tia asked me what goals did I want to achieve in my life. I made some goals for myself and we achieved them.
Y uno se siente bien cuando uno cumple lo que uno quiere.
You feel good when you've achieved goals that you've set, and they're not there judging you. They see you as a normal person and you can talk to them. And I see, for example, Tia once a month, and you can... A lot happens in one day. Imagine what happens in one month.
Y ya cuando voy y hablo con Tía, pues ya las lo que no había no.
When I go and talk to Tía, we talk about what I proposed to do the past month, and if I did it, if I got there, or I tell her I did this or that. They keep you creating goals so that you're continuing with your purpose.
Y es un tabú. Eso de los psiquiatras y los psicólogos y la...
It's taboo, psychiatrists, psychologists, all the mental health stuff, but if you need help, you need to look for it. In order to be there for your family, to do things for your life, you have to be good with yourself first.
Well, Luis, Tia, and Allison, thank you for translating. Thank you for being here today, and Luis, thank you so much for opening up and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Luis Lopez, translator Allison True, and Luis's AODA therapist Tia Ostrich of the 16th Street Community Centers all joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio. Both parts of our interview are available at WUWM.com, and you can also find links to more information about 16th Street Community Health Centers there as well.